Well, welcome to our Easter Sunday celebration. And I want to tell someone this morning, the same God who moved that stone on the very first Easter Sunday is the same God who still moves stones today. That's a word for someone here. And I've got good news for you today. It is really good news. In fact, it's great news. Do you know what it is? The news is Jesus is not dead. He is alive. And because he is alive, you can be alive too, in the fullest sense, in the truest sense, now and for eternity. Today on this Easter Sunday, we join with millions and millions across the world to celebrate the glorious hope that we have because of the resurrection of Jesus. The resurrection is the bedrock of the Christian faith. Now, I appreciate both Christianity and Easter. They are often symbolized by the cross. The cross is indeed central to Christianity. The Bible shows how Jesus died on the cross for our sins, how he laid down his life on the cross to set us free and to save us from the power of sin. But still, the resurrection is absolutely critical and crucial. You see, if Jesus died and that was just it, if Jesus is still dead, then Christianity is dead. Apart from the resurrection of Jesus, there is no salvation and there is no hope for anyone. As inspiring as it wasn't Jesus' teaching. As astounding as they were, it wasn't Jesus' miracles. As crucial as it wasn't solely his dying on the cross. It was his resurrection that accounted for the birth of Christianity and the hope that we have as Christians. Jesus rose from the dead so that we might live. And this is why the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 presents the resurrection as the most pivotal part of the Christian faith. Take the resurrection away and you have nothing. Without the resurrection, the cross remains a tragedy. Without the resurrection, the death of Christ becomes at best the heroic death of a noble martyr, or at worst, it becomes the execution of a fraud or the hapless death of a lunatic. But Jesus's resurrection changes absolutely everything. It changes his death on the cross from a tragedy into a triumph. It changes the course of creation itself, and it foreshadows the time when God will make everything new. It changes the direction of history, and it changes the destiny of humankind. That resurrection power continues to change lives today. For anyone who trusts in Jesus, it will change their future from one of eternal despair to eternal hope. Now, earlier in the service, you watched a video that I did last week about the compelling historical evidence for the resurrection of Jesus. And for those of you listening on podcast, that is available on our YouTube and social media channels. And there's a link also in the podcast description where you can view it. But taking such evidence as given for our present purposes, today I want to talk about the consequences of the resurrection. In other words, what the fact of the resurrection means to us today. And my message is entitled, This Changes Everything. So let's get to it. The consequences of the resurrection. And point number one of three. The resurrection means that Jesus is who he claimed to be. Jesus made some major claims. He didn't call himself a great religious leader. He didn't call himself a great teacher. He didn't call himself a great prophet. He claimed something much greater. He identified himself as God and the one means of access to God. In fact, Jesus even went as far in the Gospel of John chapter 8 and verse 58 to say, "Before Abraham was, I am," referring undoubtedly to the Jewish name of God, Yahweh, and therefore identifying himself with that same God. And everyone at the time knew exactly what he was claiming, that he was claiming to be God. And that's why they took up stones to kill him, because they thought he was committing blasphemy. So he made some major claims. We also find Jesus doing things in the scriptures which only God should do. He forgave sin on his own authority. He told people that they would be with him in heaven forever. He claimed to be equal with the Father. He said, for instance, in John 10 and verse 30, I and the Father are one. Again, causing people to think that he was being blasphemous. Jesus made some extraordinary claims. Either they were right and he is Lord, or they were wrong and he was either a lunatic or a fraud. But all of Jesus's claims are vindicated by the resurrection, by his physical resurrection from the dead. And the resurrection shows that he is who he said he is. So when he claimed in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. He was telling the truth, and the resurrection proves it and validates it. Point number two, the resurrection means that Jesus has the power he claimed to have. In the Gospel of John chapter 10 and verse 18, Jesus said, no one takes it. He's talking about his life. No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. Satan thought he had him. The Jewish leaders thought they'd stopped him. The Romans thought they killed him. In fact, they made doubly sure he was dead. They took a spear and they pierced his side. They put him in a tomb and they sealed it with heavy stone. They placed guards at the entrance day and night to make sure that there was no foul play with the body. Yet no one could keep him in that tomb and no one could stop him from rising from the dead. As Romans 6:9 says, Jesus has the power even over death. That's the kind of power he has. And that's why the tomb was empty that day. His resurrection defeated sin, death, and the grave. I'm sure many of you have watched or read The Jungle Book. And the boy Mowgli, he asked the animals, there's a scene there, what's the most feared thing in the jungle? And the answer that comes to him is, when two animals pass along a narrow path, one will move and the other will stay. And the one that moves for no one, that's the most feared thing in the jungle. And so they speculate what it might be. Might it be an elephant or might it be a lion? And then the wise old owl retorts, the most feared thing in the jungle is death. It steps aside for no one. And of course, that's true. It doesn't matter how strong you are, how wealthy you are, how healthy you are, how famous you are. Death is the great equalizer and eventually all will die. No one is exempt from death. No one but one, that is. And his name is Jesus. For in the resurrection, Jesus stepped aside from death. And that's why the Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 54 and 55, this is why he celebrates. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your sting? What is it that separates Jesus from all the other religious leaders of world history? It's that death stepped aside for him and not for them. Death didn't step aside for Moses or Buddha or Confucius or Muhammad. Moses is still in the grave. Buddha is still in the grave. Confucius is still in the grave. Muhammad is still in the grave. Only in Christianity do we have a resurrected Lord, and his name is Jesus. What does this mean? It means that Jesus is the one true and living God. More than a great teacher, more than a prophet, more than a man. He is Almighty God, and he proved his superiority over all other religious teachers, over everyone else, by rising from the dead and thereby conquering sin, death, hell, and the grave through his resurrection. And that's why the Bible declares that there is only one name under heaven by which humanity can be saved, and that's the name of Jesus. And now the final point. The resurrection means that Jesus will do everything he says he will do. Jesus said that he would be resurrected from the dead, and he was. So the wise among us, it's also worth asking, what else did he say? Let me focus on three other things that Jesus said and show you how the resurrection changes everything. Firstly, Jesus says, your sin can be forgiven. This means that the resurrection can change your past. The Bible declares that everybody is a sinner. That sin is our biggest problem. That nobody is righteous or good in God's eyes. And that the consequences of this sin is eternal separation from God in hell. But Jesus tells us that our sins can be forgiven because on the cross, he took our place. It should have been us there, but he took our place. He died the death that we should have died, and he gave us his righteousness. He exchanged our sinfulness for his righteousness, and he made us right with God. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2 and verse 5, Jesus said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7 and verse 48, he turned to a sinful woman and said, your sins are forgiven. And here in Norwich, and to all of us listening on podcast, today he says to us as well, your sins are forgiven. To all of us who receive him and welcome him, our sins can be forgiven. This is why the Bible says in 1 John, chapter 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we receive it, our sins, past, present, and future, are forgiven by Jesus' sacrifice, and we can live a new life by God's grace and in his resurrection power. In fact, this is what Romans 6:4 is talking about. Jesus deals with our past, all our mistakes, and all of our failures, and he gives us a second chance, a new lease on life. It's as if our slate is wiped clean, and that all our debts, the debts of the past, are paid. And this is why the Bible describes the act of becoming a Christian as being born again, because God makes us new. The resurrection proves that he can deliver this. Point number two. Jesus says, you can have life now. This means that the resurrection can change your presence. In the Gospel of John, chapter 10 and verse 10, Jesus says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Jesus came that we may have life. You know, he wasn't just talking about life at some future point after we die. He was also talking about life now, in the present, the here and now. The Bible, in fact, says that the same power that enabled Jesus to rise from the dead lives in us. And that means the Holy Spirit will help us face life in the present. The same Holy Spirit who breathed life into Jesus' dead corpse is the same Holy Spirit who breathes life into all the dead areas of our lives too. Jesus' rising from the grave means that you can also rise above any problem you face in this life. The devil wants you to remain in defeat because by remaining in defeat, he can rob you. He can rob you from the life that God intended for you on this earth. But know this. Because of the resurrection, victory is yours, and you have a power by which to live life today. As the Apostle Paul draws his magnificent chapter on the resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15 to a close, he declares in verse 57, but thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Victory. Now listen, Paul is not talking here about 3 sports cars, 2 mansions, and a jet. He's not talking here about never having a problem or never being sick again, contrary to what some think. What he's talking about, rather, and what biblical victory really is about walking in the freedom that Christ has for you. I'm talking here about overcoming temptation, seeing Satan defeated in every area of your thinking and your behavior. Because of the victory of the resurrection, we can be free from negative thinking and destructive habits. Because of the victory of the resurrection, we can experience deliverance from problems such as anger and pride and bitterness and resentment and envy. Because of the victory of the resurrection, we can experience freedom from sinful bondages. In fact, there is nothing that we can face in this life for which Jesus' power is not greater. He provides all we need to live free in this life. Because of the victory of the resurrection, we have power from on high to live in victory. And if we really believe this, it will change everything about the way we live in the present. We will count everything as lost compared to the surpassing riches of knowing Jesus. And we will live today in light of eternity, in light of the life to come. And we will take heart as we encounter problems and as we encounter trouble, because we know that Jesus is in charge and that Jesus has overcome. This brings me to my third point. Jesus says, you can have a future in heaven. And this means that the resurrection can change your future. Jesus said that with him, when you're with him, you can be certain of a future in heaven. In John chapter 14 and verse 2, in fact, he said, I'm going there to prepare a place for you. You know, the Bible makes it clear, this life is not all that there is. The end of the world is not really the end of the world. There is more to life than this. There is life after this life. There is life after death. So I ask you the question, where will you be after you die? Where will you go after you die? Jesus says you can go with him to heaven if you trust him. Because Christ has been raised, we will be raised too. And that means we don't have to fear death, because his resurrection is the guarantee of the future resurrection of his people. And the resurrection reminds us of the glorious hope that Christians have in Jesus. And because of that, we are able to endure trials and difficulties and persecution with an expectant hope. Sin, death, Satan, and the grave, they have no hold over us because they have no hold over Jesus. So friend, if you're suffering today, first of all, know this. Know that Jesus understands your pain and he wants to comfort you. But let me also tell you this, and I hope you'll know this. Your suffering will pale in comparison to what God has in store for you in heaven. I love the words of 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. God promises a time when there will be no more crying, no more tears, no more pain, no more suffering. When our bodies that are subject to sickness and decay will be transformed into resurrection bodies. When we will be reunited with God in perfect union forever. And so would you hear the words of Jesus Christ this morning from the Gospel of John chapter 14 verses 1 and 2. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. Do not be troubled. We are troubled when we don't know what's going to happen when we die. But the resurrection takes the mystery, and dare I say the fear, out of dying. If you're a Christian in this place, a true believer in Jesus Christ, can I tell you something? You can die well. Do you know why? Because 1 minute after you die, you will be in the presence of Jesus Christ in heaven forever. You will be in God's presence. That's what the resurrection guarantees us, a glorious future. Jesus reminds us through his resurrection that there is a place for every believer in heaven with him. The resurrection of Jesus Christ encourages us to keep the reality of heaven before us, at the forefront of our lives, and to look forward to that day that the Bible speaks about, where not only will we be resurrected, but this whole earth will be recreated and resurrected too. The resurrection gives to us a glorious future. So that's it. The resurrection changes everything. It changes your past. It changes your present. And it changes your future. Jesus redeems our past. He fixes our brokenness. And he makes us right with God. Jesus gives us power to live in the present and courage to withstand persecution, problems, and pain. And Jesus gives us a hope and a future in heaven. The resurrection changes everything. For those who have lost hope, for those who have lost heart, the resurrection changes everything. For the tired and the broken, for the hurting and the lost, the resurrection changes everything. For the sick and the dying, for the lowly and the grieving, the resurrection changes everything. For everyone, rich and poor, black and white, young and old, man and female, the resurrection changes everything. The resurrection changes fear into love, despair into joy, futility into hope. The resurrection changes us from being spiritually dead to being alive in God. The resurrection changes absolutely everything. Come on, let's give God glory for that. This changes everything. And friends, I want to tell you, everything means you. The resurrection can change you. That's if. Everybody say the word if. That's if you accept the invitation to welcome the resurrected Christ into your heart. To ask him to forgive your sins and to receive his gift of new life. Let me end by quoting what the Bible says in Romans 6 and verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but... Oh, praise God for buts, and I'm not talking about this one. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The wages, in other words, what you deserve. The wages of sin is death. But when Jesus died on the cross, he paid for your sin. And he took the judgment upon himself. And the empty tomb confirms that God the Father has accepted Jesus' sacrifice for our sins and restored us to right relationship with him. The resurrection shows that Jesus is the only one qualified to give us eternal life. Us, meaning all who believe in him. This changes everything. The resurrection changes everything. Jesus changes everything. Today, allow Jesus and his resurrection power to change you.